All right.
Looked at a couple different tithes that they had in the Old Testament. You know, there was the tithe that was specifically for the Levites. They were to provide for the Levites, and all of them were to give a tenth for that purpose. And there was also the tithe that they would have every third year, which, you know, some people believe that that tithe was to replace the Levitical tithe, the tithe that they provided for the Levites. And some people think that was in addition to, you know, an extra tithe every third year that they gave. So, but, you know, there's a little bit difference in that tithe there. So, and it very well might have, you know, we'd have to look a little bit deeper, I guess, to see if it was a replacement or if it was actually in addition to. There were several different tithes that they had. They were also supposed to give a tenth of their what they got, and they were supposed to take it to the place that we were talking about, which would have been the tabernacle at that time. Maybe later on it became Jerusalem, and they were supposed to eat. They were supposed to all take their grain or whatever, and if they lived too far away, do y'all remember us talking about this? They lived too far away, they were supposed to sell all of that, their grain or whatever, and because the money that they would get from selling that would be more manageable to carry, that they could then go to the place wherever the tabernacle was and buy whatever, and then they could have this festival or feast or whatever. Okay, so that's kind of what we looked at several weeks ago, was Old Testament tithing and giving. And then I was planning on the next week for us to talk about New Testament giving, and that's what we're going to talk about this week. And then I got sick, and Rich filled in for us, which I'm thankful for. New Testament giving. And before we really get into that this morning, I want to point out again this top box that this top box right here represents the first 4 or 5 weeks that we spent in this class. And I think I think everything that we're talking about in this class boils down to the foundation that we set in the very beginning. And I just wanted to bring our attention to that. We haven't looked at that in several weeks. I know that Rich was talking last week about our attitude toward money and our attitude toward possessions. And I think that that's what it all comes down to, is our attitude. And I think that this box and the things that it says here in our foundation, you know, that we, first of all, that we prayerfully seek God's counsel when it comes to our finances, that we are content with the things that we have. You know, you have an attitude in your heart of contentment. You're not always seeking bigger and better, you know, as far as money and possessions. And that you also realize that God owns everything. God owns everything. And God has allowed us to be stewards. He's allowed us to be managers of the things that He has given us. And you know, if we keep these things in mind, hey guys, you see this? If we keep these things in mind, then I think our attitude and our heart would be in the right place. Thank you. As far as money goes, I think it's very important that we keep these things in mind. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention as we started again this morning. Because what does God want, ultimately? What does God want of us? He wants our hearts, right? He wants our hearts. We need to make sure our hearts are in the right place concerning money, because money is definitely one of these things, one of the main things, a big tool that Satan can use to take our heart away from God. So we need to make sure our hearts are in the right place when it comes to money and possessions. Okay, so as we get started on our topic this morning, you know, so we were talking about tithing in the Old Testament last time. And, you know, it seems apparent that tithing, as it's seen in the Old Testament, is not necessarily what we're commanded to do in the New Testament. We have more freedom. In the New Testament, we have more liberty to give as we feel led, if I can use that word, as we feel led to give. You know, we're not required to give a certain percentage. But if you look in the New Testament, giving is still a very big part of of the Christians' lives in the New Testament. I think that you can see that all throughout. And if you look at the church today, the way that we are in the church today, I think, and when I say church, I mean like loosely, if you look at Christians, the Christian faith in general, you'll see a wide range of giving. You know, I think you've all heard before that if you take the average, you know, the average Christian, the average member of the church, if you take it all together and average it out, you know, I think the average is less than 10% that we're giving. I'm sure you've heard that before. But then, you know, you have some people, and I've read about some people, and you might have heard about some people too, that give a very big portion of their income. You know, I've heard about some people that live on 25% and give 75%. I've heard about some people that have even higher ratios. You know, they try to live on 10 and give 90. You know, and I've heard about that before, and I've you know, read about different people that give in that way. And I've, in the past, you know, I've kind of looked at that and been like, you know what, that's pretty extreme. That's taking it a long way. And I'm coming to realize, you know, I don't think that's the attitude we need to have. I don't think we need to look at that as extreme. I feel that God leads us, might lead some people to be bigger givers than other people. And I feel like if God is, you know, if you have that kind of heart, then, you know, then do it. Isn't there a verse somewhere, and I meant to look this up, in the New Testament, you know, might be in 1 Corinthians 12. If anybody has one of those little things, they can look it up real quick, maybe. 1 Corinthians 12, maybe, or maybe somewhere else, where it's talking about where God gives us different talents, where we use our different talents, and we're all to use those talents together. And somewhere in there it might say, I'm sure it says it somewhere, about giving. You know, and if you are a giver, then to give with liberality. And I just feel like God might call some people to be bigger givers than other people. And so I don't think that, you know, if you hear about that or whatever, like, I don't think it needs to be viewed as extreme or anything. I think that some people might just have the heart to give like that.
It's in the list where in 1 Corinthians 12 where he says, if you have a gift, they differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. You know, yeah. Prophesy. And he says, if your gift is giving, give generously.
Yeah. Okay. That's where it is then. Yeah. So you might just have that gift. That might be a gift of yours. You have a very giving heart. And, you know, so that might be for some people. I know the light's kind of distracting. But for some people, giving in such a large proportion might be the only way that they are able to get their minds off of and get their focus away from their money and possessions. If you think of the rich young ruler, you know, here's a man that Jesus, we all know the story, Jesus asked him, he's a rich man, and he had followed the commandments. You know, he thought he was following all the commandments. And Jesus asked him, you know, if you want to be part of the kingdom, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. And he wasn't able to do it because he was rich. Jesus knew that he was wrapped up in the things that he owned. And the only way for him to get his focus off of that, to get his main attention off of that, was to get rid of everything. You know, just to sell it and give it away. That was how he was going to have the right heart. You know, so for some people, giving such a high percentage might just be because they have that talent, they have a gift, they have their heart in that direction. Some people, they might actually have to give that much just to get their heart in the right place. And I'm not saying that we are commanded or we are supposed to all give, you know, such a high percentage. You know, if you feel called or led or whatever to do that, then yes, you should do that. But I don't think that we, you know, I'm not trying to say that we all need to do that. But what I am trying to say is that we need to take a close look at what we do give. And, you know, and make sure that the way that we're giving is in alignment with what the New Testament, the way God would have us to give. And if we look at there, as I was studying this, I could see four main principles of giving. As you know, I was looking at different examples of giving and that kind of thing. I could see four main principles. And if you want to write these down, and we're going to go through and look here in a few minutes at Scripture and see how these align with Scripture. But okay, four main principles that I came up with, and this is not an exclusive list. You know, if you want to add to this list, absolutely do so. But number one is give to God first. Make giving your top priority. I think that this is all throughout the Old Testament. If you look at Leviticus, Deuteronomy, everywhere where it's, you know, God's instituting the idea of tithing, you know, it talks about giving of your first fruits. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Definitely, he set that up in the very beginning, all the way through the Old Testament, and I think that's a principle that runs into the New Testament. We're going to look at that in a few minutes too. The second principle that I saw was give sacrificially. Give sacrificially. We're going to look at several examples here in a few minutes of where people gave sacrificially and where they are praised for doing so. Third principle, New Testament giving. Give with the right heart. Give with the right heart. You need to have a cheerful heart. You don't need to be giving grudgingly. Fourth principle, it's not just money that you give. You give your life, your time, you give of your heart, you give of your food, clothing, you know, whatever the need is. As you look through the New Testament, they're not just giving money. There's a lot of examples where people are giving a lot of different things. Just whatever the need is, that's what you are to give. It's not just money. And this is another little note, too. This isn't necessarily a principle, but this is something that I was actually talking to Brandon last night. We were at Mom and Dad's house eating dinner, and he was like, you know, another thing is, too, that God is a giver. God is a giver. And what has God given us? Well, God gave us His Son. God gave us the ability to one day be in heaven with Him. God has allowed us to be stewards of all the things that we're stewards of. All the money, the time, all of our possessions. God has given us these things to be in charge of. And so, you know, if God is a giver, and we are also made in God's image, aren't we? We're made in God's image. And so, therefore, we should also be givers. Just like God is a giver. Okay, so let's look at these principles some more, except let's look at them at in some examples in the New Testament. Some examples of giving in the New Testament. Let's look at real quick Mark chapter 12. And there's a lot of examples. We're just going to look at several. Mark chapter 12, verses 40 and 41. No, 41 to 44. Mark 12. Okay, Mark 12, 41, starting in verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they have put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Okay, so, you know, verses that we're very familiar with. This is a widow, excuse me, who gave two mites. And Christ could see what was happening. Couldn't he? He could see everything. He could see people's hearts. And Christ lifted her up to the disciples because what? these principles we just talked about. She gave first to God. I mean, she had so little. So if you were to say, well, I only have, you know, I don't make a whole lot of money. You know, I don't have enough to give anything after I pay the bills, you know, after I buy food and all this. You know, she didn't have much. She could have taken that little bit that she had and maybe bought some food or, you know, something that we would think is very important, which, I mean, food, yeah, it's important. But, you know, she gave first to God. She gave sacrificially, didn't she? She gave everything she had. She gave sacrificially. And let's see. She definitely, it appears that she definitely gave with the right heart as well. Jesus could see hearts, and you know, he definitely mentioned that she was giving with a grudging heart. So that's one example. Another example that I brought up a few minutes ago is the rich young ruler, where, you know, he told him, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. So, you know, this is what he was telling him to do. If we were all to do this, if we were all to sell all that we had and give it to the poor, Jimmy brought up in class one Wednesday night, it's been a couple months ago, you know, if we all did this, we'd all be on the street. You know, and there's also the command too, where is it? In maybe 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, where we are told to provide, did I write that down? I can't remember. We're told to provide for our families. It says, if one does not provide for his own family, or for his own, even of those of his own household, he has become worse than an unbeliever. You know, we have that command too. We have to balance it, providing for our family with giving. And, there's that too. Now, let's look also at Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2. And these are, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In that first scripture, he's not necessarily putting the rich down.
No,
he's just elevating the lady. Because he's trying to get a point that he wants to make.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not wrong to be rich, nor was it wrong for those people to give with their abundance. Mm-hmm. We can't seem to get the idea that he's actually getting after them. I don't think so. He's just saying that, you know, that they can give. They can afford to give.
Mm-hmm.
And they give. She couldn't afford to give, and she gave. So.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not necessarily putting them down.
Yeah.
And the rich young ruler, of course, he's reading that guy's heart.
Mm-hmm.
What was more important to him? Well, his money was more important to him. That goes back to the first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
Mm-hmm.
He had done everything according to the law. He simply had something in his heart that overrode Christ or God. So
mm-hmm.
That's the point. He went right straight to his weakness, which was money. In our lives, it might be something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we put before God, I think that's what he would point out in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for some of us, it might be money. It might be something entirely different, or it might be money.
Chris, just one point here that the Old Testament system was supposedly to teach the people about giving and about helping others through their giving. And they had all kind of laws about that, but it didn't. The law cannot do that. The law cannot operate on our heart somehow. We can't, if it's a command, it goes against mm-hmm. the very thing that God's trying to get us to do. It has to be from the heart. The law did not bring them to the point of really loving others and giving out of a loving heart, at least the majority. So that's the reason I think in the New Testament it's not a command. It's not something you can dictate. You must give this much, or mm-hmm. this is how you must give it, or all that. It has to start in the heart. It has to be driven from above for the things that the money, or if it's money or time or whatever it is going mm-hmm. to accomplish. That has to be the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he emphasizes in the New Testament.
Yeah. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7, which goes along with what Dave says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think Dave's right. That's what I said about the rich young ruler. Where was his heart? His heart was his money.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give because I'm made to give, I don't think that's an acceptable gift. If I give because I want to give, then that's a different thing. That's coming from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is what God wants, ultimately. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 2. And, of course, this is all very familiar to us. And in these first several examples, the examples that I'm pointing out are where people are giving everything. The widow, she gave everything. You know, the rich young ruler was asked to give everything, but didn't give it. And here, also in Acts chapter 2, in the very beginning of the church, starting in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and then prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And I've wondered before, you know, why, like, let's take for instance singing. Why do we sing in church? Well, I mean, why, when we worship, why do we sing? Well, we're following the example of the first century church. You know, why do we have a preacher? You know, well, we're trying to follow the example of the first century church. Why do we give? Well, that's what they did in the first century church. You know, so I've wondered before, if this is what they did in the first century church, why do we not follow that example? No. So, that's something that I've wondered before. I don't necessarily think that way now. I think this is something that they did voluntarily. Anybody have any comments on that?
I think we do. We just maybe not do it. You know, you talk about selling property, and later on, Ananias and Sapphira sell a piece of property, and they give half, indicating they gave the whole thing. And he says, was it not yours to do with whatever you wanted to?
Of course, I'll bring that up to you.
On this occasion, what they're doing is giving to those that are in need. Do we not do that by our contributions? I mean, look at the Reach ministry here. You know, I don't teach in Reach, okay? But I feel like I'm a part of Reach because I give my money to Echo Hills, which in essence is Reach, because that's our ministry, basically. So, and then we have clothing drives where we invite people in to get clothes. I know that we furnished food. I've been with you and others when we went to Good Pasture and picked up food, and then we brought food and we distributed food out around Christmas, Thanksgiving. I don't know which one it was, but yeah, I think we do it. We just maybe not necessarily do it like they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, we are.
But I'm not sure that that's really what we're doing here. I mean, what you're talking about, I think, is important, and it's, you know, what you're talking about and what we're doing is outreach, you know, giving to the community. But I'm not sure that I read that this way.
No, you're saying the church.
It seems like they're
a community,
as a congregation, as a body, selling everything and supporting each other from within on that. Am I reading that wrong? I mean, that's kind of how I've always read
it. No, because you have to understand the situation as well. I mean, this is right after Pentecost. When people had come to Jerusalem, they didn't go home.
Yeah.
So they didn't have things with them. They needed support because they decided to stay with the family of God, and therefore they needed that. They may have had possessions at home that they couldn't liquidate or whatever, but they were now in Jerusalem, and there was a need. The way I see this, and something that most of churches are missing, is they knew the need. They knew each other because it said they had all things in common. They were together every day. And so they saw the need. They took care of it. Mm-hmm. We isolate ourselves too much. Thank you. But, yeah, we don't often see the need because we don't want people to know it. I don't doubt that a lot of people would help the people in the congregation if they knew they needed it. We don't want them to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think Jerry's right on. That's exactly why they did it, because they knew the need. Yeah. They saw the need. They knew each other. They ate every single day together. You know, there was an intimate bond, and they weren't going to let their brother and sister go hungry. They would do whatever it took to take care of it. I think the modern church has missed a lot of that because we're together for 2, 3, 4 hours.
We don't know the needs.
Right.
Well,
and we don't want them to know.
No, that's what he's saying. I might have a need. I might need food, but I'm not willing to tell everybody in the church I need it, so you don't provide it. Because if I had told you, you probably would have given me the food or paid my rent. Or,
and I've seen that. It's not just church. I mean, people complain. You didn't visit me in the hospital. You didn't tell me you were in the hospital.
It's hard to visit you that way.
Right. But you're going to be upset if we don't come visit. Well,
yeah.
You got to let everybody know what the needs are. The needs are different. But we're often too proud to admit when there's a need.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
And I think you.
A different circumstance back then. It also in that scripture said they continued daily at the temple. Number one, they were all Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they go to? The temple. They were still holding on at that time to the Jewish religion. And in fact, for years, they were just considered another sect of the Jewish church. And then in chapter 8, it says, and the Lord allowed a persecution to come upon the church. Why? Because they were all staying in Jerusalem. They weren't going anywhere. They weren't spreading the gospel. So he allowed a persecution to come on the church. They got out of Jerusalem. And when they went out of Jerusalem, they took the gospel with them. So, you know, the church has expanded from the days right after Pentecost and for the first few years there. Yeah, that was, and I agree with Rich, that was a particular situation, and yeah, they did to take care of their people, and Jerry's right, and mm-hmm. I think that's the way you should read it, but I think we've progressed from that. Now, we've probably lost some things, like Rich said, too. We don't tell each other what our troubles are, whether it's needing money or needing prayer or what. There's a lot of people. I had a boss, man, she wouldn't tell you anything. You never knew what's going on in her life. You'd just show up at work and she wouldn't be there. She didn't tell nobody she wasn't going to be there. You know, some people are like that. They're just very secretive.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I understand that sometimes because there's certain people you wouldn't want to tell certain things. You know, because if you do, it's going to get everywhere, spread.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, that we look at this in context with the rest of the New Testament, too. Yes, this is what they did in the very, very beginning of the church, but there are also other examples in the New Testament where there was giving that was going on. And, you know, that wasn't necessarily, they weren't giving everything they had. They weren't selling everything they had in order to support the church. You know, I don't think that this went on forever, you know, or like for the whole rest of the first century. You know, if you look at the verses that Jimmy brought up a few minutes ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting verse 7, it says, you know, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, so give as you have purposed in your heart. You know, not necessarily don't have to give everything, but give because you're doing it on purpose. Give because this is what you have decided in your heart this is what I'm going to give. You know, he's not asking you here to give of everything that you have. And then also, if we look at other examples, let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 25 to 27. We read about the Macedonians. And we also read about the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But Romans 15, 25 to 27, Paul says, "But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things." You know, here's an example of where the Macedonians and those Macedonia and Achaia are giving to a certain need to those who are in Jerusalem. Those who had previously sold everything and had supported themselves, you know, now they had need. Of course, at this time, too, there was a drought going on. There was a famine. And so they had a need. And it seems like, I'd never really put this together before, but that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that we read a lot about giving, you know, now you're supposed to lay something aside. That was specifically for this purpose. They were for Jerusalem. They were going through, they had a need. They had this famine. And they were to lay something aside. And Paul was going to deliver it to them, give it to those in Jerusalem. So the Corinthians, he had commanded the, you know, he requested that the Corinthians give to this. And also in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, you know, as I've commanded the churches in Galatia, so you must also do. You know, so the church in Corinth, those in Galatia, and then Macedonia and Achaia all seem to be giving to this same need, that these funds and all this was going to be given to those who are in need in Jerusalem. And, you know, all these different instances, were they asked to give everything? No, not necessarily. They were just asked to give as they purposed in their heart. And then also in Acts chapter 5, as Jimmy brought up, you know, we're all familiar with the story of Ananias and Sapphira and how, you know, at that time they were selling their lands and their possessions and they were supporting. There was still that same idea. They were supporting those in Jerusalem and they were laying all these funds at the apostles' feet. And the apostles were distributing as people had need. But the sin of Ananias and Sapphira was what?
They lied.
The lie.
Yeah,
about it.
The recognition, so therefore they lied.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact.
We're giving everything.
Yeah.
They
wanted the glory in themselves.
Right.
That
yeah.
Was
their sin. That's and in fact they lied about it. And not necessarily that they were keeping some of it. You know, they weren't required to give all of it. They just said they were giving all of it. They lied in that way. That was the sin. So I guess the main thing I wanted to get across this morning are those principles that, you know, that we looked at a little bit ago. You know, first of all, your heart has to be in the right place. You got to give to God first. You got to give to God sacrificially. And some of these examples that we've looked at in class this morning are definitely examples where they are giving to God first. This other verse, we're running out of time, but this other passage where it was talking about the Macedonians, you know, it said they gave first to God and then of themselves.
Beyond their means.
Yes. To the point of their means, and yes, even beyond what they were able. You know, these are examples of people giving first, giving sacrificially, giving because that's where their heart, that's what their heart told them to do because they had this in their heart and they were giving cheerfully. Also, real quick, I wanted to look at, you know, this other principle that I mentioned, give up your time, your life, your heart. It's not just your money, it's everything. There's a few examples of that. When I was thinking about that, is Matthew chapter 25 and starting in verse 35. That's just the passage, I'll just mention it real quick, where Jesus is talking about, you know, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me. You know, if you visit somebody, you're giving them their time. You feed somebody, you're giving their food. You know, whatever the need is, that's what we are to give. We're to give it, you know, humbly, cheerfully. And also Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know, we're all familiar with that passage. And there are other passages, too, where it talks about giving of other things besides your money. But this one in particular says, you know, give your what? Body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, yeah, that's the main thing I wanted to point out this morning are those principles, the principles of the New Testament. Not that the New Testament requires or asks us to give a certain percentage, because the point that Papa made, you know, if you're obligated by a law to give, it's a whole different ballgame than when you are giving, because that's where your heart is. And that's what God wants, is our heart.
I'm not trying to put this down at all, but sometimes organized efforts can come between us and the recipient of the actual gift. You know what I'm saying? We give the Healing Hands. We know that Healing Hands is organized for the purpose of having things available immediately upon a disaster. So I give $10 a month or $50 a month or whatever it is, and sometimes that becomes such a ritual almost that we lose touch with the thing that that's going for. And I'm not against Healing Hands at all. I'm not saying that, but it's within us. And when we give to something, well, it should be a church contribution we give. And we're just giving. We're not really thinking about the thing that we're giving to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easy for a programized thing to become a ritual and not fulfill the purpose of what we talked about this morning. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's a lot different when you are giving to Healing Hands, who is going to go and give things to other people, except versus when you are actually face to face with somebody, giving, providing for them whatever the need is. It's a big difference.
I'm just saying, it's easy for us to make it, you know, put a barrier between us and the, I'm not against Healing Hands at all.
Yeah,
at all. I think we need you for more. But that's within us, is not to let it become a ritualized thing. And I think that the key was here was they saw a great need, and they were giving for a specific need in these various things that we read about. It was mm-hmm. a need. Mm-hmm. They were giving to that because they felt in their heart that these people needed it. They weren't going to let their brothers and sisters go hungry, or they weren't going to let them be in these bad situations. And it was more hands-on. It was easier, I guess, for them to touch the reality of mm-hmm. the gift.
Well, they were giving to the church, not necessarily congregation. I'm thinking of an A. You know, I mean, it might not be just giving to Echo Hills, but, you know, we can be like the Macedonians, and there's the church that still has a need, mm-hmm. even though we're not always feeling hungry or things like that.
Yeah.
And that's why he said, let each one of you lay in store on the first day of the week, that you'll have it when I come to get it. Mm-hmm. Because if you wait, and if you read the beginning of chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians, before he tells them God loves a cheerful giver, he says, I hate to have to tell you this, because you already know it.
But if you wait, yeah.
But if you wait,
you won't.
You know, I would hate for me and some of those Macedonians when they come to be embarrassed
mm-hmm.
because you're not ready.
Go ahead and prepare now by giving
you. You knew about, and yet you thought, well, you know, I don't have to worry about that yet. And then when the time comes, it's caught you unaware. That's the whole reason he said give every week, so that you are ready. Because when we put things off, it loses what Papa was saying. We lose that connection to it. If we keep it in the forefront of our mind, then we know why we're doing it. If we think, oh, you know, well, it's coming later, you know, it'll be like the way I look at my sermon. You know, I got 2 more weeks before I have to do that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to put it down on paper yet. And then what happens? You know, oh, I got panic, you know. Mm-hmm. I have millions of ideas in my head, but are they on paper? Because, you know, mine's not here yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, we see that in the attitude of Paul, you know, and, you know, here you have these Gentile Macedonians given to a Jewish, you know, group of people. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no class, race, whatever you want to call it, you know, division among them. But yet Paul goes down the line in his travels, and there are places where he says, I'm thankful that I didn't ask you for any money because of the attitude of the people, you know. And so I think that also shows us that you know, our attitude is an important factor to our giving.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where he said, the attitude of these people, I'm glad I didn't even ask them for anything.
Well, thank you everybody for your comments. I really like teaching this class just because, you know, I learn as much just from everybody's comments as I do studying for it. So appreciate everybody's comments. And so I guess we'll head on upstairs.